I'm sitting bolt upright in my grave, screaming for release. Let me at him! Nothing gets past me, dead or not. I heard my best poem. Without a by your leave, you've allowed it to fall into the wrongest hands and sullied it, tainted it forever. My best poem. You can take my picture right off the $10 bill because I'm on patriotic strike. You hear, you silly burghers of Canberra? I'm up and haunting you. Go on, rename that suburb and the state highway. Call them anything else but Gilmore. Take down those portraits of me in the galleries. Rescind my state funeral. How could you? I'm appalled. I've been appalled all my life, really. Appalled when I was a young teacher sent to the outback to educate those who knew better than I what the world was about, what poverty did to you. 16 I was and barely schooled myself when they sent me to Broken Hill and Wagga Wagga. Pretty appalled when city newspapers refused to publish my accounts because I was a girl. I'm a girl socialist, I screamed. Does that help? Not in passive right-wing Australia, it didn't. So I carried on, calling out, hollering for greater government support for the poor, bellowing for better working conditions for women and children's welfare and equality for Indigenous Australians, all Australians. We needed to provide for them, and we weren't. Simple as that. Vast numbers of immigrants we needed like a hole in the head when we couldn't feed our own. Oh, they all said, you're too angry. Too radical for us here at the Australian Workers' Union. Suggest you try the Communist Party. All right, I said, I bloody will. I wrote for the Tribune newspaper for decades. Look, I tried conformity for a while. Married, had a child. But just to keep all those parochial tongues wagging, I ran off with Henry Lawson, the country's most famous poet. Oh, he taught me a thing or two. Moving swiftly on. Took off to Patagonia. Oh, long story, another day. Came back and tried to settle to being an obliging farmer's wife, but it was no good. The city had got me by the throat by then, so I deserted and hightailed it back to Sydney. And what a thrilling life I led there. Not chastened one bit. I churned out the articles, tore institutions and policies to verbal shreds, and found myself lauded, at last, for my reliable outspokenness. Dubbed the dreaded doyen of the Sydney literary world, always getting me ugly mug on the television or my cackly voice on radio. And while I was on the crest of this popularity wave, I took to poetry. Well, they were scrabbling over themselves to publish me. Ha! And as a prize for my bad behaviour, a damehood. Only slightly contrary to my social views. Services to literature. Services to decades of table thumping and head banging, more like. I deserved it. I accepted willingly, on behalf of my equally hard-working Scottish family, the Camerons, carvers out of the prosperous Riverina district. They'd have thought it was fair reward. And true to family form, I slogged on till I couldn't any longer. Last published at 84, pegged out exhausted at 97. But I still can't rest, no. Now, this poem I'm livid about. I wrote it as a wartime morale booster. Because I love this country and all its people, the Indigenous folk and all the pioneers who helped shape an unbiddable wilderness into a Shangri-La. I love it. And one of the verses goes, we are the sons of Australia, of the men who fashioned the land. We are the sons of the women who walked with them hand in hand. And we swear by the dead who bore us, by the heroes who blazed the trail, no foe shall gather our harvest or sit on our stockyard rail. No foe. And now it turns to ash in my mouth. After a lifetime of well-controlled fury, now I'm really ropeable. You see, my great-great-nephew's name is Scott Morrison, present Australian Prime Minister. Yes, that's bad enough, but listen. A year or so ago, on a state visit to Washington, there was your de rigueur fancy banquet, you know, when a certain putrid and appalling so-called president took a copy of my poem into his pudgy hands and read it aloud. As a tribute, a welcome, he said. He read it publicly. He took verse that I had lovingly written and which could only be meaningful to us Australians, and he put it into his mouth. No foe shall sit on our stockyard rail. Ours. Get it? You poppy-cocking opportunist. Ours. And I'm expected, just because I'm dead, to take that lying down. No fear. Dame Mary Gilmore, Angie Cairns.